Yesterday, it was my very great honor to go and see an interview with Chief Eric Pelkey, Hereditary Chief of the Sayot Nation and member of the Hwasanik Leadership Council. In this interview, arranged by the Leadership Victoria Community Leaders Development Group, Chief Pelkey shared something of the creation story of the Hwasanik peoples and the origin of the name Hwasanik and of the name of the language, Senchotan, as well as stories of his own experience and his roles in leadership over the years. As he explained the origin of the name of the language, Senchotan, I was struck by the link to today's readings. He told us, the word means my mouth. That's the name of their language. And he expressed his own surprise in learning this as he began his language studies after many years of being punished for trying to speak his traditional language, firstly in Indian Day School, as it was called, and then in the so-called residential school. Why, he wondered, would their language be called my mouth? It was explained to him, and now to us, that the teaching of his people was that the substance of a human being is held here, by the heart. This is our essence, and it comes out as breath and speech, both of which can be used as a gift or to harm others. My mouth is an expression of my essence, of what is me on the inside. As such, it seems fitting to call their language Senchotan. I'm sure that by now, many of you will have made the mental leap as to how this stood out for me as I read the readings for this Sunday. At least the initial leap I made. You might not keep up with the other leaps because they sometimes go all over the place. St. Paul, in writing to the Romans, says, if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That link is there, and it's not only just here in Scripture. That link between heart or soul or mind and mouth, that link, that combination of heart and proclamation is the road to wholeness or salvation, as Paul calls it. It's found again and again in the letter of St. James, in the Psalms, in the Hebrew prophets, in the Gospels. That reminder of the link of heart, soul, or mind with that which comes out of us, both from our mouth and in our actions. Now, I don't want to delve too deep into just one verse, but I will mention that the idea of confessing or proclaiming Jesus is more than just saying it, but sharing that understanding of the reign of Christ, both in our hearts and in the way we live our lives. That was something profoundly dangerous for the early church, the burgeoning church of Rome, to do, undergoing persecution. And the idea of belief in this verse, believe in your heart, as I've said before, is not about some kind of intellectual assent to a verifiable or not verifiable proposition, but it's about trusting, be life, holding tight to something that is valuable. The new life promised in resurrection is that which we hold to, that Jesus has been raised from the dead. And Paul isn't giving a simple formula which says, if you believe X and you confess Y, you have your ticket to glory. Or as Father Dougal Maguire once said, well, hey lads, we're all off to heaven. No, there's something more profound going on here. Something about our essence and our relationship to the divine and our living out those values of the divine that we claim to hold. And that's not a bad way to start thinking about Lent. More often than not, on this first Sunday of Lent, we zoom straight into the temptation stories that we heard today from Luke's Gospel and are encouraged to think about our temptations. my temptation to power or to selfishness or to satisfying my material needs without paying attention to spiritual needs, that kind of thing. And then we get Jesus held up as a kind of great example of resisting all that, and that gives us something to feel bad about all the way through Lent. And that's an oversimplification, and it's not the only way we talk about this Sunday, but it's been quite a common one in my own experience. But I want us to enter these stories all the way through Lent by considering this theme of substance, of essence, and of using this Lenten period to engage in a self-examination that is not about beating ourselves up or thinking that spiritual discipline involves less chocolate or trying to do more Bible reading. Not that fasting and Bible reading are in any way bad when done for good reason. Instead, I'd like to invite you through these next days of Lent to enter the spiritual discipline of this period through a different door. Through this understanding of our heart, mind, soul that is our essence, however you might define it, and the consideration of how our essence as community and as individual followers is expressed through mouth or action or inaction, however. But where, you may ask, do we get this sense of essence? On that point, we have both the scripture readings and Chief Pelkey for some guidance. We were reminded yesterday of the importance of the stories we tell ourselves and tell one another in forming our identity. For the Hussanic peoples, their very name comes from their sense of origin, and as many of you will already know, their creation myth is where they come from. The creator, and I'm sure there are those among you that can correct my pronunciation on this, the creator Ha'els flooded the world as people had neglected the teaching of all creation being one and being responsible for one another. Creator encouraged the Hussanic people, who did not have that name at the time, to build massive canoes and weave cedar ropes to anchor themselves to the top of the mountain that is now known as Mount Newton. As the flood came and the waters rose, those who had heeded the Creator's word and built canoes and ropes were saved as they rose, and the ropes, although stretched to the end, kept them anchored. And then as the waters receded over what we now call the Saanich Peninsula, they saw the peninsula emerge from the flood to be cared for by those now named Hussanic, which means emerging land or emerging people. For those of us who walk or dance within this Christian spiritual tradition, we too are rooted in the stories of our forebears in faith, the Hebrew people and the Christian community who passed their stories along in what we call our scriptures. Though our origins go back to the creation myth that we have in the first chapters of Genesis, a myth that we unpacked in a very new and thought-provoking way for me in our Lenten book study, Embracing Justice, this week, more of our identity, our origin story, actually goes beyond the creation myth and is perhaps found in what we heard today from the book of Deuteronomy, the retelling of the slavery of Israel, the work of God in freeing the slaves, and the move into the promised land. Today's passage is a bare bones account of all that we read in the book of Exodus, which incidentally is the theme for next week's Lent book study on Wednesday and Thursday. But that freedom from slavery, that promise of an identity found together in faith, that pilgrimage that was Exodus, is also the foundation of our story reenacted year by year in what is called, sometimes uncomfortably in my mind, the Christian Passover, the festival of Easter. This is our story. This is our song. Sorry, I'm getting excited there. This is our essence, rooted deep in a story of liberation, deep in a story of community, deep in a story of promise and of hope and of faith, and in a God who is faithful. But there is more to it than that. There always is. The essence of these stories is the spirit that drives Jesus into the wilderness. The spirit which is with Jesus as he grapples with his fears and temptations. The spirit that inspired Moses and Paul and the prophets to proclaim wholeness, the fullness of salvation as expressed in the new life of Christ. That spirit is the spirit of love. That spirit is our essence, our aspiration, our hope, our being. This is the promise of the one who is in their very being love, the divine, the creator. As those of you who've been reading our blog for the last few days will have seen, our reflections, our entry into Lent this year have been based on the theme of Love Lent, meaning that we are putting together 47 reflections. Yes, we do include Sundays and Easter Day. We are looking at this whole period of Lent as a time to deeply root ourselves in this essence of love. Love of God, love of one another, love of creation, love of ourselves. Rather than taking a Lenten discipline because it's what we're used to, denying ourselves coffee or candy or meat or TV or social media or whatever, though again, if that helps you, please go ahead with it. Rather than, or perhaps as well as that, let us take our Lenten discipline as one that roots us again in our essence. The stories, the actions, the motivations of love. That we too may be people of grace. That we may be people of justice, of spirit, of hope. All because of the love which is at the heart of the divine. The love which we align ourselves with and live within. And then, as the psalmist says, may the words of my heart, my words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be now and always acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our salvation. Amen.